A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hello, Herman and Corn. We've done some episodes lately talking about the difference between consumer IoT and automation done in professionally managed buildings. So think about places like hotels, maybe conference venues. And what's interesting about this area, at least to me, is that this actually often predates consumer IoT by not just a few years, by sometimes a couple of decades. It's a much more recent thing that the consumer world has adopted IoT. And we're looking at some of these standards that even if you're really into home automation and familiar with Zigbee and Z-Wave, names like Modbus and KNX, I'm not sure which of those. But I was looking lately at whether it's possible to actually get KNX devices and use all the kind of industrial gear, your OT devices. And I came to the conclusion that even if I were starting a new, building my own place today with a hypothetical generous budget, I don't think I would go down this road because A, the stuff is not just a bit more expensive. We're talking about a really, really significant gap between the cost of even your most basic KNX panel versus what a Wi-Fi or a Zigbee or consumer-oriented device would cost. The difference is quite huge. And the second thing that I noticed, and I did look this up, is I couldn't really find any clear way to purchase these things. And that becomes just as big a problem. If you decide to put down your smart home based on a certain network topology and then can't actually get the parts, well, you're kind of out of luck. So on both counts, I have to say, as interesting as it was to know about, I put it in the category of probably not the way to go. What I was wondering instead is we can see some consolidation around a couple of networks. I'm looking at some of the new products that SM Lite, which is a very well-regarded manufacturer of coordinators, are coming out with, and they are bringing together, they're creating these kind of multi-home coordinators, which I wondered for years, why doesn't someone just make one of these instead of, you know, trying to tack on Zigbee and then adding a Z-Wave coordinator, adding Matter. Why doesn't someone just build one big box with a load of radio networks? This is actually what they've recently come out with. I have to say, doesn't get great reviews. Maybe it's better to just focus on the networks that you're building around, but it is a thing. We've talked about scaling Zigbee before, and this is what I'd like to get to, because if we are accepting that maybe, you know, the really fancy OT, PLC-based automation systems are just not viable for a DIY person to do, then we're back to looking at the more familiar consumer IoT stuff. Smart devices that connect over Wi-Fi, Zigbee, and now increasingly Matter over Thread. So what I'd like to ask is, I mentioned that we're living in currently a small rental, 65 square meters thereabouts. And that's why I got into this stuff, because there was a few smart plugs already installed. But in a hypothetical world in which millions of dollars fell out of the sky and I was buying a maybe two-story house with an outdoor area and I wanted to extend my network there, and we're, again, using Zigbee and Matter, how well do these actually scale at that floor level or floor space? Because we talked about Zigbee forming a mesh, and there is a catch that to get the mesh properties of Zigbee, it has to be a powered device. But if you have a Zigbee coordinator, let's say for argument's sake, sitting somewhere in the top level of your house, maybe you've got a networking cabinet there, and you've got downstairs and down these stairs, maybe a repeater or something, a switch in the wall that's plugged in. As you do these hops, we get latency. But if we're looking at your average home, I don't know what square footage we might be considering, but let's say 100 square meters of space stretching out to outdoors, or maybe 150. And we wanted to have some outdoor stuff connected to Zigbee. So is the Zigbee network actually capable of forming a mesh wide enough and on one coordinator that it'll all route back, or does latency and backhaul become a problem even when you're at this level? The second question, really, or it's same question but a different network, is Matter, because I've heard that Matter has border routers and has sort of more deliberate support for this idea of intermediate nodes, because the most significant difference between consumer and commercial IoT topologies, as I understood it, was that the dominant assumption in consumer IoT is we're going to have one brain, home assistant or whatever, and we're going to wire everything, have everything come back to it. Whereas in the professional IoT world, the logic tends to be inverse. We're going to bundle together devices at the room level, have a logical controller there. Then we're going to bundle together the rooms to a floor, and then the floors to the central management brain. That was the example of a hotel IoT system. So I'm wondering if that approach makes a world of sense to me, I have to say, especially given how much time can be wasted in Home Assistant just identifying what room a device belongs to. There's one way to solve it would be to bind devices to a subnetwork. So which of these two networks, or if you like that approach, it made sense to you, and you wanted to try to emulate it within the world of consumer IoT, what kind of a network topology and backbone would you be building around?
Daniel sent us this one, and it's a layered question. He's been looking at professional building automation, Modbus, KN, X, that world, and basically concluded what a lot of us conclude. The cost gap versus consumer gear is enormous, and you can't even figure out where to buy the stuff. So he's asking, if we accept that industrial OT is off the table for a DIY, smart home, how well do the consumer networks we actually use, Zigbee and Matter, scale to a proper house? Say a two-story place with outdoor coverage.
The deeper question he's asking, which I think is the real meat here, is whether we should be trying to mimic the professional topology. The hotel model where you bundle devices at the room level, then floor level, then central brain. He wants to know which network lets you do that or how you'd build it.
By the way, DeepSeek V4 Pro is writing today's script, which feels appropriate. Precision and discipline for a topic about network topologies.
Let's dig in, because Daniel's instinct about the cost gap is dead right, and I want to put some numbers on it before we get to the scaling question.
I love when you put numbers on things. It's my second favorite thing you do after the archery.
I haven't picked up a bow in weeks, and you know it. But the numbers, a basic KNX push-button wall switch, just two rockers, four buttons, runs somewhere between 80 and 120 euros. That's one switch. The equivalent Zigbee switch from a decent brand like Akara or Sonoff, 15 to 25 euros. And that's before we talk about the KNX power supply unit, which is another 200 to 300 euros, or the IP. Interface to actually program the bus, which is another 250 to 400.
You're into what, 600 euros before you've turned on a single light?
And Daniel's second point is the one that really kills it, procurement. KNX devices are sold through certified system integrators and electrical wholesalers. You can't just open Amazon and order a KNX actuator. Even if you find a supplier willing to sell to an individual, you need the ETS software to commission the bus, and that's a licensed product. ETS Professional runs about 1,000 euros for the full version.
I did some poking around on this too. There's a weird gatekeeping dynamic where the manufacturers don't want to deal with end users. Not because the technology is dangerous. It's low-voltage bus wiring. But because their business model assumes an installer who's done the KNX certification course. The whole ecosystem is built around the assumption that the person buying the parts is not the person living in the house.
That's the fundamental architectural difference between industrial OT and consumer IoT before we even get to the technical protocols. One assumes a professional integrator, the other assumes the occupant. Daniel's conclusion, put it in the probably not the way to go category, is exactly right for a DIY context, even with a generous budget. The budget isn't the only barrier. The ecosystem is designed to exclude you.
All right, so we've buried KNX. Rest in peace, elegant German engineering. Now let's talk about what Daniel actually wants to build. He's asking about scaling Zigbee and Matter across a house that's maybe 100 to 150 square meters, two stories, with outdoor coverage. And he's noticed this new SM Lite multi-radio coordinator that combines Zigbee, Z-Wave, and Matter radios in one box.
The SM Lite SLZB-06M. It's a PoE-powered coordinator with an Ethernet interface, and it packs a Texas Instruments CC2672P7 for Zigbee and Thread, plus a Silicon Labs EFR32MG21 for Z-Wave, all on one board. It's been getting genuinely good reviews, and Daniel's right. People have been asking why nobody built this for years.
What took so long?
Partly, it's a radio coexistence problem. Zigbee and Thread both operate on 2.4 GHz, and Z-Wave operates on sub-gigahertz frequencies, 868 MHz in Europe, 908 in the US. Putting multiple radios on one board without them interfering with each other requires careful antenna design and shielding. But the bigger reason is that the chipset manufacturers have been siloed. Silicon Labs makes both Zigbee and Z-Wave chips, but they historically sold them as separate product lines with different SDKs. Nobody was asking for a combo because the software stack assumed one radio, one network.
SM Lite did the integration work that the silicon vendors didn't bother with.
And they put it behind Ethernet, which matters more than people realize. USB coordinators have been the default for home assistant setups forever, but USB means your coordinator is physically tethered to the host machine. If your home assistant box is in a network cabinet in the basement, your Zigbee network starting point is in the basement. With PoE, you can place the coordinator anywhere you can run a Cat5 cable, ceiling mount it on the top floor, put it centrally in the house. That alone solves a chunk of the range problem before we even talk about mesh hops.
Let's talk about those mesh hops, because that's where Daniel's question gets interesting. He's asking whether a single Zigbee coordinator can cover a two-story house with outdoor devices, or whether latency and backhaul become a problem at that scale.
Let's get specific about how Zigbee mesh routing actually works. A Zigbee network uses a routing protocol called AODV, Ad Hoc On-Demand Distance Vector. When a device wants to send a message to a destination it doesn't have a route for, it broadcasts a route request. Neighboring routers rebroadcast it until it reaches the destination, which sends back a route reply. The route is then cached for future use.
The catch Daniel mentioned. Only mains-powered devices act as routers. Battery-powered end devices don't participate in the mesh.
Zigbee defines three device types, coordinator, router, and end device. The coordinator is exactly one per network. It forms the network and manages security keys. Routers are mains-powered devices that forward messages and can also be application endpoints, your wall switches, your smart plugs, your powered sensors. End devices are battery-powered and only talk to their parent router, never forward traffic.
The mesh depth depends entirely on how many mains-powered devices you've got and where they're placed.
Here's the number that matters. Zigbee supports a maximum of 32 hops. That's the theoretical limit in the spec. In practice, nobody should be anywhere near that. The Zigbee Alliance's own deployment guidelines recommend a maximum of 5 hops for reliable performance. Beyond 5 hops, latency becomes noticeable and the probability of a root failure increases because you're chaining through multiple devices, any of which could be temporarily busy or have a weak link to its neighbor.
5 hops in a house. Let's do the math on what that actually means for coverage. A typical Zigbee router indoors has a reliable range of maybe 10 to 15 meters through walls, depending on construction. If you're doing 5 hops, you're talking about a theoretical reach of 50 to 75 meters from the coordinator.
In a 150 square meter house, which is about 1600 square feet, you're well within range even with 1 or 2 hops. A two-story house with the coordinator centrally placed might need 3 hops to reach the farthest outdoor sensor. You're not hitting the 5-hop limit in a residential setting unless you're trying to cover a farm or something.
Daniel specifically asked about latency. What does each hop actually add?
A single Zigbee hop adds roughly 10 to 30 milliseconds under good conditions. The radio transmits at 250 kilobits per second, and the routing overhead per hop includes the time to receive the packet, check the routing table, and retransmit. So 5 hops is maybe 100 to 150 milliseconds of added latency on top of the initial transmission. For turning on a light, that's imperceptible. For a door lock or a security sensor, it's still fine. Where it becomes noticeable is if you're doing something like streaming a firmware update to a device 5 hops away. But that's a background operation anyway.
The short answer to Daniel's first question is, yes, ZigBee scales fine to a 2-story house with outdoor coverage, assuming you've got enough router devices placed sensibly. The mesh will form, latency won't be a problem, and a single coordinator can handle it.
With one caveat, a single ZigBee network has a hard limit of, depending on the coordinator, somewhere between 32 and 200 direct children, and the total network size is theoretically 65,000 nodes, but real-world coordinators start getting flaky above 200 devices. For a typical house, that's way more than anyone would install. But if you're the kind of person who puts a ZigBee sensor on every window, every door, every light switch, every outlet, plus motion sensors in every room and temperature sensors everywhere, you could theoretically bump into that limit.
I've seen your Home Assistant dashboard. You're not far off. All right, let's move to the second network Daniel asked about, Matter. And this is where the topology question gets really interesting, because Matter has a fundamentally different approach to scaling.
Matter over Thread is what we're really talking about here. Matter is the application layer. It defines how devices communicate and interact. Thread is the network layer. It handles routing and the mesh. And Thread is architecturally different from ZigBee in ways that directly address Daniel's question about the hotel-style topology.
Walk me through it. What makes Thread different?
Thread uses IPv6 natively. Every device on a Thread network has an IPv6 address. That sounds like a small detail, but it changes everything about how the network routes traffic. Instead of ZigBee's AODV routing, Thread uses a distance vector routing protocol that maintains routes proactively. The network knows its topology at all times, rather than discovering routes on demand.
It's more like how the internet routes packets than how ZigBee builds ad hoc paths.
And here's the key piece. Thread has a concept called a border router. A border router is a device that sits at the edge of the Thread mesh and connects it to the wider IP network, typically your Wi-Fi or Ethernet LAN. A Thread network can have multiple border routers. They're not competing coordinators, they all participate in the same mesh and provide redundant paths out to your IP network.
If I have a border router on the top floor and another on the ground floor, and one fails, the mesh reroutes through the other.
And this is the architectural answer to Daniel's question about hotel-style topology. In a professional building automation system, you have floor-level controllers that aggregate room-level subnets and then connect upward to a building management system. Thread with multiple border routers gives you a version of that. The mesh itself is the room-level and floor-level network, and the border routers are the aggregation points that connect to your central brain.
It's not quite the same as the hotel model, is it? In the hotel model, each room controller has local logic. If the central brain goes down, the room still works. A Thread mesh with border routers is still a flat network. All the devices are on one logical network, and the border routers are just gateways to IP.
That's a fair distinction. The hotel model distributes control logic. Thread distributes connectivity, but not control logic. Your Home Assistant instance is still the single brain. If it goes down, your Thread devices don't have local fallback logic.
Unless you're using Matter's binding feature, which does allow some direct device-to-device communication. A Matter light switch can be bound directly to a Matter bulb, so that the switch works even if the controller is offline.
Right, and that's worth highlighting. Matter supports what's called direct device-to-device communication through bindings. A binding is a persistent relationship between two devices that works at the network level. Once bound, the switch talks directly to the bulb over Thread without routing through the border router or the controller. That's not quite a room-level controller with its own logic, but it's the consumer version of distributed resilience.
If Daniel wants to emulate the hotel topology within consumer IoT, what's the closest he can get?
I'd build it like this. Use Matter over Thread as the primary network for the house. Deploy multiple Thread border routers, at least one per floor, maybe one in the outdoor area if you can get power and weather protection. These can be dedicated devices, or they can be devices that happen to include border router functionality. Apple HomePod Mini, Google Nest Hub, the newer Echo devices, they all have Thread border routers built in. But if you want to stay vendor neutral, you can use a Home Assistant Sky Connect or the SM Lite Coordinator in thread mode.
Then, for the room level clustering Daniel was talking about,
that's where you get creative with how you organize devices. In Home Assistant, you can group devices by area, kitchen, living room, bedroom, and those areas can be used to define automations, but the physical network doesn't enforce the grouping. If you wanted actual network-level segmentation, you'd need multiple thread networks with separate PAN IDs, and that gets messy fast. The practical answer is, use the software layer for room-level organization, and use the physical mesh for reliable connectivity.
There's a middle ground. In a larger house, you could run multiple ZigBee networks on different channels, one per floor, each with its own coordinator, all feeding into the same Home Assistant instance. That gives you network-level segmentation without the complexity of trying to partition a single mesh.
That's actually a pattern I've seen people use. If you've got a ZigBee coordinator on channel 11 for the ground floor and another on channel 20 for the top floor, they don't interfere with each other. Home Assistant handles them as separate integrations. Devices on the ground floor mesh don't need to route through top floor routers, so you reduce hop count and improve reliability. The downside is you lose the benefit of a single large mesh where a device on one floor can route through a device on the other floor if its direct path is blocked.
In a house, if your direct path is blocked on the ground floor, a top floor router probably isn't helping you anyway. The walls are in the way.
And that's the practical reality. In a residential setting, the mesh doesn't need to be a single flat network. Segmenting by floor is a perfectly valid strategy, and it mirrors the professional approach of floor-level controllers. You're not distributing control logic, but you're distributing the network fabric.
Let's talk about the outdoor piece separately. Daniel mentioned wanting outdoor ZigBee devices. Outdoor is hard for a bunch of reasons. Range, weather, the fact that your walls attenuate the signal.
Outdoor ZigBee works, but you need to think about your router placement. The ideal setup is a mains-powered router physically located outside. Something like a ZigBee smart plug in a weatherproof enclosure or a purpose-built outdoor ZigBee switch. That router becomes the bridge between your indoor mesh and your outdoor devices. Without it, your outdoor end devices are trying to connect through your exterior walls, and that's a losing battle at 2.4 GHz.
What about the temperature range on these things?
Most consumer ZigBee devices are rated for indoor use only, typically, 0 to 40 degrees Celsius. If you're putting a smart plug outside in a climate that gets below freezing, you need to check the specifications. Some devices are rated for negative 20 to 45, but you have to look for them. Or you put them in an enclosure that provides some thermal buffering.
All right, let's pull this together. We've established that ZigBee scales fine to a two-story house, that latency isn't a problem at residential distances, and that Matter over Thread with multiple border routers gives you a more resilient topology that looks a bit more like the professional model. But I want to go back to something Daniel said that I think is the real insight. The dominant assumption in consumer IoT is one brain. Everything comes back to it.
The professional world assumes distributed logic. That's the philosophical split.
Does that actually matter for a house? Hotels need distributed logic because they have hundreds of rooms and they can't have a single point of failure that takes down the lighting in every guest room. A house has, what, 5 to 10 rooms? If Home Assistant goes down for 5 minutes while you reboot it, you're mildly inconvenienced, not facing a hotel full of angry guests.
That's the pragmatic answer. But there's a subtler point. The one-brain model creates a dependency that gets more annoying as your device count grows. Every time you add a device, you're adding another thing that has to be configured in the central brain, assigned to a room, added to automations. Daniel mentioned how much time can be wasted just identifying what room a device belongs to. That's a real friction point.
The professional model solves that by making the room the unit of configuration. You don't configure individual devices, you configure the room controller, and the devices in that room are its concern.
We're starting to see glimmers of this in the consumer space. Home Assistant's area model is one approach. Matter's multi-admin feature, where a device can be controlled by multiple controllers simultaneously, is another step in that direction. But we're a long way from a consumer product that says this is a room controller, plug it in, pair the devices in this room to it, and it handles the rest.
Which brings me to SM Lite's multi-radio coordinator. Daniel mentioned it as an example of consolidation, but I think what's interesting about it is that it points toward a different architecture entirely. If you've got one device that can run Zigbee, Z-Wave, and Thread simultaneously, connected over Ethernet and placed centrally in the house, you're essentially building a single network appliance that handles all your IoT radios. That's not distributed logic, but it's a step toward treating the IoT network as a separate infrastructure layer from the controller.
PoE is the unsung hero here. Power over Ethernet means you're not dependent on USB. You're not dependent on Wi-Fi for the backhaul, and you can place the coordinator exactly where it needs to be for optimal radio coverage. You run one Cat6 cable to the ceiling of your top floor hallway, mount the coordinator there, and you've got a central radio point that isn't in the basement next to your server.
I want to push on that, though. Is a single central radio point actually better than multiple coordinators spread around the house? If I've got a two-story house, and I want outdoor coverage, wouldn't I be better off with a Zigbee coordinator on each floor, each with its own mesh, rather than one central coordinator trying to reach everything?
It depends on your device density. If you've got enough mains-powered routers on each floor, a single well-placed coordinator can absolutely cover a two-story house. The mesh does the work of extending the network. The coordinator doesn't need to reach every device directly, it just needs to reach the nearest routers, and they handle the rest.
You're adding hops, and we talked about hop count.
In a two-story house with a coordinator on the top floor, a device on the ground floor is maybe two hops away. Coordinator to a top floor router, that router to a ground floor router, that router to the end device. That's three hops total, well within the five-hop recommendation. Outdoor adds another hop if you've got an outdoor router.
What about interference? 2.4 GHz is crowded. Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, microwave ovens, Zigbee, Thread, they're all fighting for the same spectrum.
This is a real problem that people don't take seriously enough. Zigbee uses 16 channels in the 2.4 GHz band, numbered 11 through 26. Wi-Fi channels 1, 6, and 11 are the most commonly used, and they overlap with Zigbee channels 11 through 22. If your Zigbee network is on channel 11 and your Wi-Fi is blasted on Wi-Fi channel 1, they're overlapping and you'll see packet loss.
Channel selection matters.
It matters enormously. The standard advice is to put Zigbee on channels 15, 20, or 25. These fall between the main Wi-Fi channels and avoid the worst of the interference. Thread uses the same 2.4 GHz spectrum, so the same advice applies. And if you're running both Zigbee and Thread in the same house, you need to put them on different channels.
Which the SM-like coordinator presumably handles.
You configure it. It doesn't auto-negotiate between the different radios. You need to know what channels your Wi-Fi is using and pick non-overlapping channels for Zigbee and Thread. It's one of those things that makes consumer IoT harder than it should be. The average person doesn't know what a radio channel is, and they shouldn't have to.
Daniel is not the average person. He's the kind of person who reads spec sheets and asks about mesh hop latency. So let's give him the topology playbook he actually asked for.
If I were building a two-story house with outdoor coverage, using consumer IoT gear, with a generous budget but not KNX generous, here's what I would do. Network backbone, Ethernet. Run Cat6 to every room, and especially to ceiling locations on each floor and one outdoor adjacent location. PoE switch in a central networking cabinet. For the coordinator, SM-Lite SLZB-06M PoE mounted on the top floor ceiling, running Zigbee on channel 20 and Thread on channel 25. Z-Wave on the European or US sub-gigahertz frequency. No channel conflict there since it's in a completely different band.
For the mesh?
Deploy mains-powered Zigbee routers on each floor. Smart plugs are the cheapest way to do this, but in-wall switches are cleaner. Aim for at least two router devices per floor, placed to create overlapping coverage. For the outdoor area, a weatherproof Zigbee smart plug or an outdoor-rated switch that acts as a router. All battery-powered sensors become end devices that connect to the nearest router.
The Matter side.
For Matter over Thread, deploy at least two Thread border routers, one on each floor. These can be dedicated devices or they can be integrated into something you already have, like a smart speaker. If you're using Home Assistant, the Home Assistant Connect ZBT-1 or the Sky Connect dongle in Thread mode can serve as a border router. The key is redundancy. If one border router goes down, the Thread mesh routes through the other.
You've got two separate mesh networks, Zigbee and Thread, both running in parallel, both covering the whole house. Why not just pick one?
Because device availability is still fragmented. Some of the best sensors are Zigbee only. Some of the best locks are Thread only. Matter is the future, but Zigbee has a 15-year head start in terms of device ecosystem. Running both networks gives you access to the widest range of devices, and with a multi-radio coordinator, you're not adding much complexity. Z-Wave is the third network on the SM Lite coordinator, and it's worth having as an option. Z-Wave operates at sub-gigahertz frequencies, which means better wall penetration and less interference. It's also a fully interoperable standard. Every Z-Wave device is certified to work with every Z-Wave controller, which is not something you can say about Zigbee. The downside is that Z-Wave devices are more expensive than Zigbee equivalents, and the ecosystem is smaller. But for critical devices like door locks and smoke detectors, Z-Wave's reliability advantage is worth the premium.
The playbook is Ethernet backbone, multi-radio coordinator placed high and central, Zigbee for the bulk of sensors and switches, Thread for Matter compatible devices and future-proofing, Z-Wave for security-critical devices, and all of it feeding into Home Assistant as the single brain, with areas and automations doing the room-level organization.
That's the practical answer. It's not the hotel model. It doesn't distribute control logic. But it gives you a network that scales reliably across a two-story house with outdoor coverage, and it gives you device flexibility that a single protocol setup can't match.
I think there's a deeper point here that Daniel is circling around, which is that the consumer IoT industry has been weirdly resistant to the idea that houses might need infrastructure. The professional world assumes infrastructure, bus wiring, floor controllers, managed networks. The consumer world assumes you'll just stick a hub somewhere and everything will magically connect.
That assumption works for a 65 square meter apartment. It breaks down when you scale to a house.
And the fix isn't to adopt KNX. The fix is to treat your consumer IoT setup like infrastructure. Place your coordinator deliberately. Think about router placement and channel selection. Do the things that a professional integrator would do. But with gear, you can actually buy and configure yourself.
The SM Lite Multi-Radio Coordinator is a step in that direction. It's a device that acknowledges that your IoT network is infrastructure, not a peripheral. You plug it into your network rack, you power it over Ethernet, and it becomes a permanent part of your house's connectivity layer.
It's $100, not €1,000.
That's the sweet spot. Professional-grade thinking, consumer-grade pricing. Well, prosumer-grade pricing, but you know what I mean.
All right, let's talk about where this is all heading, because there's an interesting convergence happening. Zigbee and Matter over Thread are both mesh networks based on IEEE 802.15.4, the same physical layer. The chipsets are increasingly shared. The SM Lite coordinator runs both on the same hardware. How long before we stop thinking of them as separate networks and just think of them as the IoT radio layer?
That's where the industry is going, but it's not there yet. The Zigbee Alliance rebranded to the Connectivity Standards Alliance and launched Matter specifically to solve the interoperability problem. But Zigbee isn't going away. There are billions of Zigbee devices in the field, and the standard is still actively developed. Zigbee Pro 2023 added new security features and improved onboarding. It's going to coexist with Matter for years.
The multi-radio coordinator is not a transitional product. It's the permanent answer.
I think so. The idea of a single protocol smart home was always a fantasy. The real world has Wi-Fi, Zigbee, Z-Wave, Thread, Bluetooth, and probably something else next year. The smart move is to build a network layer that can handle all of them.
Which brings us back to Daniel's original question about the hotel topology. The hotel model distributes control logic to room-level controllers. We've been talking about distributing the network layer with multiple border routers and multiple meshes. But what about distributing the control logic? Is there a consumer-friendly way to do that?
Not really, and this is where the consumer IoT industry has a genuine gap. Home Assistant is the closest thing to a distributed control system for consumers, but it's still a single instance. You can run multiple Home Assistant instances and link them with the remote Home Assistant integration, but that's an advanced setup that most people won't attempt. There's no off-the-shelf product that says, I am a room controller, pair me with a central brain.
Maybe there shouldn't be, for a house. The complexity of distributed control logic only pays off when you have dozens of rooms and hundreds of devices. For a two-story house, a single Home Assistant instance with a well-designed network layer is more than sufficient.
The network is where you should invest your architectural thinking. The control logic can stay centralized.
Blitzlandis, Daniel asks three questions. 1. Can Zigbee scale to a two-story house with outdoor coverage? Yes, easily, with properly placed routers and sensible channel selection. 2. Does Matter over Thread handle scaling better? Yes, in some ways. Multiple border routers give you redundancy and better backhaul, and the IPv6 routing is more robust than Zigbee's AODV. 3. How would you emulate the hotel topology in consumer IoT? You can't fully, but you can approximate it with a multi-radio coordinator, Ethernet backbone, and network segmentation by floor.
The SM-Lite multi-radio coordinator is the hardware that makes this approach practical. PoE-powered, centrally placed, running Zigbee, Thread, and Z-Wave from a single device.
One thing we haven't mentioned, the software side of this is Home Assistant, and it's worth noting that Home Assistant's multi-protocol support is impressive. It handles Zigbee through ZHA, or Zigbee to MQTT, Z-Wave through Z-Wave.js, Matter through the Matter integration, and it presents them all as a unified device model. The network layer is fragmented by necessity, but the control layer is unified.
That's the right split. Let the network be heterogeneous, let the control be homogeneous. That's the consumer version of the professional model, and it works.
I think we've earned our fun fact.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1950s, astronomers operating a radio telescope in Chile's Atacama Desert discovered that the instrument would periodically detect a strong signal at exactly the same time every day. After weeks of investigation, they traced it to a faulty microwave oven in the observatory's kitchen that a technician used to heat his lunch at precisely 12:15.
The universe was trying to tell them to eat.
The cosmos wanted a hot pocket.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumingtop, and our prompts come from Daniel. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps.
We're at myweirdprompts.com, and we'll be back soon.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.